Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. We have a very powerful guest with us today. Please remember that after the half an hour mark, we will be taking questions. The number is 646-716-9663. And today the magic word is expo. If you go to my website, www.storfuentes.com, go to the radio show page and enter the magic word expo, you will get a free e-gift. And today, I am pleased to have a very powerful guest. Her name is Reverend Dr. Kimberly Maroney. She is awesome, angelic. Hi, Kimberly.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here, Star.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit about, no, tell us everything about what you do and the services you offer?
Oh, my God, everything. I'd be talking for 2 months.
Well, give us a brief description.
I can do that. What I'm best at is helping people go deep into their hearts using what's happening in their lives to experience a personal connection with God or divine love or the divine or whatever you want to call it, the source, whatever you want to call it. And I do that through my books, through courses I teach, through private counseling sessions, through talks on the radio like this, because I'm one of those people who today I need to focus on my feelings and allow something else to happen, because, wow, has it been a day for me. And I know I'm not the only one. Today's September 11th, and I know for many people this is quite a time of sudden transitions.
And it's a day where whatever you haven't handled, your stuff comes up, because this is a day we all pray for more light. And when we pray for more light, everything unlike light comes up. So you can expect a lot of changes from your family and friends, from the highest level to the lowest level today.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Star, because in May, I was just looking back through my journal, and in May I made this interesting prayer where I asked for more intimacy in my family. I live with my mother-in-law and my husband, and normally it's a wonderful, very sweet, loving relationship. Up until just recently, my mother-in-law, she's 88, she was a very active tennis player doing competitive tennis, and about 3 months ago, we discovered that she had cancer. So she's gone from 3 months ago playing national-level tennis competition, she was seeded number 8 in her age class nationally, 3 months ago playing national tennis championships, to now she's in bed and she's facing her departure. We've got hospice care here, and wow, talk about sudden changes in life. And I was just realizing the other day that, what did I ask for? I asked for more intimacy with my family. And what's happened as we've taken this journey together through her health challenges, such beautiful love and intimacy. Deep healing has happened in their family and also in me. And wow. So when we pray, we have to be grateful for the results that come in whatever form, don't we?
Well, that's true. And sometimes when you're working with, let's say, your mother-in-law, you're also working with your husband's lineage. And when you work with a lineage, everybody who has 1/32nd of that DNA, they get opportunities to heal. And when you ask for intimacy, you're going to know all sides of that person, of that family. And being able to have cancer, stay in a state of grace, and have everyone around you stay in a state of grace, it's just incredibly hard to do. So when you're living with a relative who has a disease or cancer, there are these moments where darkness can just come and sweep you off your feet, and you have to remember not to worry, that that's the time to pray, that that's the time to be of the light, and that's the time to call on the angels.
Yes.
You do a lot of work with angels. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I do. The angels started coming to me when I was in my early 20s. I think I might have even just been 19 or 20 when the angels started appearing to me. I'm a natural mystic. I have some really wonderful gifts. And so the angels just started kind of showing up. And so did the fairies and some gnomes and some other fun little creatures. And they just started leading me on a path of discovery. Then in my 30s, I was very ill. I was praying. I was actually praying for God to take me because I was at the edge of death. And I was suffering a lot. I was in deep pain. So when I witnessed my mother-in-law in these places of deep pain as she's approaching her death, I know what it felt like for me. So I can go to that place. And so what I did for myself was just to go into very deep prayer. And one day out of very deep prayer, I think it was the deepest I'd ever prayed at that moment, I totally surrendered and I begged God to just take me, whatever that meant. I didn't care what it meant. As long as God was holding me in his embrace of love, I knew I could face any challenge or the pain that I was dealing with. And so that prayer was heard in a really big way. The ceiling in my house opened up, and I had this massive visitation from the heavenly host. And I mean the heavenly host. Millions and millions of celestial beings came down through my living room into my little house, to my sofa, to hold me in this amazing embrace of love. And in that embrace, they asked me to create a bridge to spirit, which later became Angel Blessings Cards, my first book. And so during that exploration, it took me 4 years to create Angel Blessings Cards. I had the pleasure of personally experiencing the 44 angels who were in there as they guided me through an amazing journey of healing, of connection, of peace, of enlightenment, of joy, of love. And so now they're my best friends. So yes, the angels and I have quite a relationship.
And you're really good at helping people connect with their own angels, and you have a wonderful deck of cards called the Angel Blessing Cards.
Mm-hmm. I have two decks, Angel Blessings Cards and Angel Love Cards.
Oh, yes, now I have both of them. Now I'm remembering. And the cards are very, to me, they're very attuned with where I am. And when I pick a card, I can be here, and all of a sudden, I'm moving in a different direction. They feel very, they're motivators and catalysts to me more than like confirmers. You know how certain cards confirm what you're feeling?
Yes.
So cards motivate me. And I love those cards. You've recently written a new book. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. I had the pleasure of doing a book with Jaylene Clark. For those of you who know Jaylene, I've actually done, I think, three with her now. But the new one is called My Angel Connection. And I love this. It's a little different from most of the angel books that are out there because I actually wrote the material for my angel ministry program, teaching my angel ministers how to connect with angels. So we've just recently put this really amazing material into a paperback book, My Angel Connection, the Guidebook to Interactions with Angels. And it goes way deeper into, speaking of lineages, it goes deeper into who the angels are and how they connect with us and what our lineage might be. When I was writing this book, I had such a different experience. You know, for 20, 30 years, I've been exploring the lineages that have been written about the angels, the more common ones and some less common ones. Most everybody knows about Dionysius's nine celestial orders with the seraphim and the cherubim and the thrones and principles and dominions and virtues and powers and all those guys. So when I was creating this book, when I was co-writing this book with the angels, I had a very different experience of what these different lineages meant. I had the opportunity to share about the, probably four or five lineages that I felt the most connected with. And through that, to help us understand how we personally connect with angels. Many of us humans walking the earth are literally earth angels. We came in through the angel door, as one of my mentors, Judith Larkin Reno, puts it, and we are literally from the angel lineage walking here on earth. So I had great fun writing about what that angel lineage is, how to trace it. I traced my own so that others could see how to trace theirs and to see where they fit in, because I would imagine that if you're from the angel lineage, my path has some places that intersect quite strongly with how your path may have unfolded to help you discover what's your angel lineage. And then from there it goes on to teach you how to use divination, how to use cards, like Star was talking about my cards, how to receive guidance, how to recognize the guidance that's coming to us. And just some other wonderful stuff is in here. It's great stuff. I love it.
Where can I buy your book?
You can get it at gatherinsight.com and look for messengers. Find me, Kimberly Maroney, and it's my angel connection. You'll see some of my other four books that Jaylene has also published while you're there.
That's wonderful. And Kimberly and I will be at the Universal Life Expo October 12th to 13th in Columbus, Ohio, at the Franklin Memorial Building. Come and find us. Our booths will be very close to each other, and you can come and play with both of us. Now, Kimberly was saying something very different about us being angels. I know a lot of my clients come to me and say, well, Star, I don't feel like I belong on the planet Earth. Well, what a great book to start looking up your lineage and to follow Kimberly's instructions. Because if you do have that angelic form, you might not totally feel like you're from the planet Earth. Even though you are, you might have memories from other lineages, and your soul may contain different sorts of light than other people around you. You had an angel ministry, or you have an angel ministry. I think I've even taught one of the sections of it before. Can you tell me more about being an angel minister?
You did. You had a wonderful talk with us about healing and healing energy, because what do angel ministers do? They heal. So this ministry, it's, you know, we get guidance in different ways. So the angel blessings came in with this big blinding movie-style flash of epiphany with the heavens sounding. But guidance also comes in quieter, more subtle ways, and most of the time it actually comes in these quieter, more subtle ways. That's how it happened for me with the angel ministry. That request from the angels came in a very quiet, subtle way that took me about 3 years to recognize. And as it was growing inside me, and as I was realizing that the angels had already placed in me the different parts of this angel ministry, I had to go through a lot of different feelings. One of the feelings was, wow, this is way too big for me. Are you knocking on the wrong door? This is way too big for me. And I had a lot of fear about it. But as I had courage, as the guidance to do this angel ministry kept persisting, and as I relaxed into it, I realized that I had already been given everything I needed to know. And what was this angel ministry? I'm so happy you asked that question, because that's something that I had to spend a lot of time praying and asking about. And it's really a ministry to help us earth angels reconnect with who we really are. so that we can become angels on call, serving God, serving the divine, serving the angels, serving each other with love, with joy, with peace, with delight, with whatever it takes in the moment, with vulnerability, with courage, with whatever it takes in the moment to move through the challenges that we're facing. So I teach the angel ministers in our 9-month course how to connect more deeply with the angels, with God, with different aspects of the divine, different incarnations of God. It's a non-denominational ministry, which means that whatever your spiritual heritage you bring with you, that becomes part of your ministry. I was raised a Christian. My dad was a Presbyterian minister. My grandfather was a Pentecostal missionary. My great-grandfather was a Methodist minister. My great-great-grandfather was a Lutheran minister. So it's in my lineage, so to speak, to serve God in a way that's unique to me. And so I teach the angel ministers how to do that, how to discover what's their unique calling that brings together their spiritual heritage, their angel lineage, their gifts and talents, their soul calling, their life purpose, in a way that uniquely serves. And it's such a beautiful path.
You know, one of the things I've always liked about talking to the angels, and I've had communications with angels, probably not as many as you've had, you know, there's like no judgment. It's like everything that comes in their communication is positive, loving, supporting. It's not, you know, like, oh, you better fix so-and-so. Words, Barbara, send more light. You know, it's really interesting how there's none of that judgment. And how they really don't care how you connect to God, Source, as long as you're connected to God and Source. We care a lot more about that than they care. You know, you ask them something about religion and they kind of just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you whatever.
it's like, oh, yeah, there's those humans talking those strange things about, you know, how you connect to God when it's really important to be connected to God. And, you know, almost every religion in the world has angels in it of some sort or some type. And this is one big common denominator you find with almost every religion. And,
yes.
Angels are really interesting. They'll be there all your life. And you'll take an incident, an accident, you know, like you being in bed, being sick, when those angels, a gazillion angels floated into your room, for you to open up your eyes to perceive them, or your ears to hear them, or your touch to feel them. But once you do, they're always there. Have you noticed that?
They are always here. You know, I'm so glad you said that. In the early part of my spiritual journey, I couldn't perceive them so clearly. And so I would pray and pray and beg and endeavor and do all kinds of spiritual practices to try and to call them to me. And eventually I started to perceive them more clearly, and I started to recognize how they were interacting in my life, in the many different ways that were different from how I thought it ought to be. And I eventually realized that they were here all along. They never left me. They were always here. I just needed to learn how to perceive them. And it's just as you say, Star, there's no judgment. They're always saying, we love you. We love you. We're proud of you. You're doing good. They're always encouraging us. And along with that, they'll give me some guidance. Like they'll tell me, well, you know, your thoughts, you're having some challenges with your thoughts, and you're having judgmental thoughts, and, well, you know, you could do this instead. Try this instead. When you have judgmental thoughts, just, what was the latest guidance? Oh, think of judgments like ads on the TV. when they come in, don't buy into it. Don't engage with them. Just watch them pass by.
That's pretty interesting.
And I love
know
that.
That angels don't tell me what to do, that they make suggestions. You know, they'll give you wisdom, you know. They won't say, go stand on the corner of 42nd Street. They'll say, there's another way for you to handle your worrying.
Yes.
Every time you worry, make it a prayer, because worry is prayer for something you don't want in your future. And it's been really interesting, you know, the guidance. And then a couple of other things I thought were really interesting. If I go like, oh, man, I wonder if I should read that book. All of a sudden, angels disappear and they're doing research on that book or that seminar that I want to take. Whenever you have a thought like, oh, should I, would I, could I, is this correct for me, I notice that angels peel off the group and they go and do research. And they don't come back and whisper in my ear and say, Star, do this, don't do that, do this. They create synchronicity. They make, you know, somebody will tell me name of a movie three times that I need to see, or a name of a book, or you'll hear a person's name. And the angels are just like the matrix masters of creating synchronicity in your life so that you do pay attention.
They do. You know, sometimes I have to laugh when I finally get a message sometimes, and I look to see the convoluted series of events that had to happen in order for me to get that message. I marvel at the wonders of how the angels guide us to do these little bits and pieces, like you just mentioned, hearing something three times. Well, imagine what it took to arrange for those three people, or what are those three circumstances, to give you that little ping on that topic. So I'm always amazed at their ability to arrange these synchronistic events to help guide us.
And it's like I buy things, and I go in the store and I buy something. I bought some bandages with Spider-Man and some stuff on it about three or four weeks ago. And I was like, I can just see my church ladies putting these on, right? And all of a sudden, Cub Scouts are meeting at our church, and sure enough, little Cub Scout Allie, and there was the bandage right there. And for me, not being in the store and buying something for a few dollars, that I hear buy this, you need to take this home, and not judging, I don't want to spend the money, I'll never need Spider-Man bandages. For me, not judging that is such an integral part, and it brought such a beautiful smile to a little Cub Scout's face, you know what I mean? And the angels arrange that.
Yes, so even beyond judgment, this is a way that we can be angels on call, is to listen to that inner guidance and do it even though we don't understand. Because often the angels will guide us to do things or they'll give us information before we know we need it. And so this is a big part of trusting in that relationship, to just trust. Oh, Spider-Man Band-Aids. I'm feeling this strong pull to buy Spider-Man Band-Aids. Okay, I can trust that.
But sure enough,
a couple days later, there's the need for the Spider-Man Band-Aid.
And it was his favorite. He's a Spider-Man, his favorite. Now, for me, the learning healing part is when I hear that in my head, like to buy a special food or buy something small. I'm going, well, nobody in my family eats that. That's a waste of money. And sure enough, a guest will arrive who's asking for the very thing I didn't buy because I said, well, nobody eats that. And the true grace in a person is when you have that feeling, you hear that voice, and you recognize it as angelic outside of yourself, and that your ego, your rationale, has very, very little to say when you hear an angel.
Yes.
So tell me, where can I buy your books, and what is your website?
My website is KimberlyMaroney.com, And you can find all of my books there. I'm in the process of doing a massive website change. So in the next couple of days, the new website will be coming up. So KimberlyMaroney.com. You'll see my old store. You can buy them in my old store. The new store is going to be ready shortly. And on either site, I have a wonderful gift. So when you go to KimberlyMaroney.com, get the gift.
And I have a wonderful gift at StarFuentes.com. Go to the radio show page and enter the magic word expo, and you will get a free e-gift. I will be at the Universal Life Expo October 12th and 13th in Columbus, Ohio. Kimberly will be a few booths down from me and will be glad to share with you angelic messages, readings, healings, etc., etc. Kimberly, you've probably heard some amazing angel stories this lifetime. Do you have one that's a couple minutes long that you could relate to us?
Oh, no kidding, no kidding. You know, one of my favorite angel stories came from a friend of mine, because one of the biggest challenges that I've had is occasionally I get this silly belief that the angels don't help us with physical earth stuff. And so I had a friend who was driving her car. She's actually one of my angel ministers. Her name is Reverend Kathy Burke. I'm going to be seeing her in Boston just next week to do a miracles retreat at her Angels of Light Healing Center in Norwell, Massachusetts. But so here she is. She's living on the East Coast. Anybody on the East Coast knows that it gets icy and slippery and nasty weather in the winter. So Kathy was driving down the freeway in her car during an ice storm. And her car hydroplaned at last contact, and it started to spin. So she's completely out of control. She's gripping the wheel, trying to correct the spin of the car. She looks ahead, and she's noticing that there are two semi-trucks right ahead of her, side by side in the two-lane highway. And she's headed right in between these two semi-trucks that are side by side. She heard this voice inside her say, "Let go of the wheel. Trust." And who's going to let go of the grip on the wheel in a situation like this? She was able to trust and let go of the wheel, and the car straightened up. The trucks moved apart. These are big, giant semi-trucks. The trucks moved apart. Her little car went right down the middle. The trucks came back together behind her, and she put her hands back on the wheel. The car was back in control, and she drove on.
That's a pretty wonderful story. I have a friend who, well, I'm going to say her name. Her name's Joanna. And Joanna drives on the yellow line. She just doesn't believe in staying in her line. And, oh, she's in her upper 60s, and she's been driving this way. I've had a few scary moments with her in the car or going someplace with her. And one day, I was sitting in the church, and one of her angels came in, and her angel had a skid mark right over it. It had a tire track on it. I looked at it, and I went, "Oh, that's really interesting." And Joanna came in, and she said, "You know, I was driving, because I love driving on the yellow line. I don't want to be in either of them." She says, "I'm driving on the yellow line, and something happened, and all of a sudden, my car was skidding, and I didn't get in an accident." And I want to remind you people that angels follow physical laws. They follow physical laws. So if you're going 90 miles an hour and the speed limit is 75, your angel will only go 75 miles an hour. Sometimes you'll get someplace and your angels won't be there. So pay attention. There are physical laws that you agree to, your angels will follow. I always think that's such a cute little story. After the break, we'll be taking questions. We'll be confirming for you. We'll be talking about life and angels. The number is 646-716-9663. So give us a call. 646-716-9663. This is Star Fuentes with Dr. Kimberly Maroney. And just take a breath, and another breath, and let's wait for the break. Good.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
Wow, here we are. Both Kimberly and I have books for sale at gatherinsight.com. What a wonderful website. There's messages, there's articles. I even have a few games for you to play. Wonderful visionary authors, gatherinsight.com. So, Kimberly, can you talk to me a little bit more about how easy it is for people to get in touch with their angel and work with their angels, even if they've never had that connection?
It is so easy. The angels are all around us, and it's getting easier and easier as time goes by. The angels are such a strong presence on this earth. So even if you've never noticed them before, they are there with you. If you are listening to us talk today, it's guaranteed that there are angels around you. And as I'm looking out at my inner vision, I have the ability to see many of our listeners today, to see your souls. And sure enough, I see your guardian angels and your souls all around you. So one of the simplest ways to begin connecting with angels is just talk to them. Like, you can talk to your guardian angel. You can say, I don't know if you're here, but Kimberly tells me you're here, so I'm just going to pretend that you are, and I'm going to talk to you like you're my friend, because Kimberly tells me you are. That's a really interesting, easy way to start. And so our imagination is one of the key links that links us to our intuition, that links us to our soul, to our inner senses, to our deeper senses. So in the beginning, we can just use a little imagination to begin this conversation. And another really easy way to connect with angels is through angel cards. And of course, I favor my own. I favor my angel blessings cards and angel love cards. They have really beautiful artwork on them that comes from the past and history, that comes from the time of Rembrandt and the other Dutch masters, that goes back to Spanish masters and comes forward into some more recent paintings. But what I love about these paintings is that most of them come from a time where the artist had the leisure to spend years working on a painting, pouring their heart, their soul, their experience into that painting. And because of that, the images on the cards are such a powerful link to the energy of these angels. And I know, Star, you made a mention of that back at the beginning of our program about how they help you attune with the angels from wherever it is that you are.
It is important, and it's like there's an angel that's been with your soul every incarnation. And people, when people walk into the room, sometimes it's like, it feels like 16, 17 people enter the room because people have so many angels. And I guess they're in the room with us when we're making our body. They're in the Guff and Bardot when we're between our having bodies. And the voices in your head. Sometimes I know one angel in particular because his voice is just a quarter pitch different than mine. But when I have thoughts, I don't really pay attention to what the sounds of my thoughts sound like. But after I start watching the angels, I notice that one particular thought in my head was a quarter of a pitch different. And that was the very positive voice That was a very directive voice. And since I've been listening to that voice all my life, I thought it was just me thinking. But as soon as I figured that out, that angel became very, very present. That angel became very powerful in my life. And I guess for me, teaching people to experience their angels is sit down in a room and read a book. Read a book and think about the book. And with your peripheral vision on your right side and left side, you'll occasionally see a figure moving. And that is one of your angels moving to check out some of the information you read, to change the energies of the room. So most people's first vision of their angels is through their peripheral vision, especially like if you're focused on a book, TV, computer screen, you kind of see that movement. And after a while, you can adjust your vision to see them all the time. But some people are feelers, so they'll be feeling them. Have you ever been in a room and it's been just you and another person, Kimberly, and it's been crowded?
Oh, yes, regularly.
Yeah,
I bring a rather large entourage myself. Sometimes I have, because of my mission, sometimes I have 1,500 or 2,000 angels with me, helping me with my mission. Sometimes it's more like 250, but it's seldom less than 250.
I remember when you were in my church, and I have this huge geodesic dome church, mm-hmm. and all the way up to the dome, 50-some feet in the air, it was just packed full of angels,
yeah.
you know? And, yes.
So when I get together with somebody like you who also has a big entourage...
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
It was a bunch of us ladies like that day. All right. So the phone number is 646-716-9663. Tell me a little bit more about archangels.
Oh, I had an experience two or three months ago. I had an experience where I was asking for something. The angels had asked me to do a summer camp a couple of years ago, and then they didn't give me any more information on it. So they said, angel summer camp. I thought, okay. So I was driving through the mountains in probably June, I guess it was, and I was asking. I had this little chatter going on in my head saying, okay, so what about this angel summer camp? And all of a sudden I realized that Archangel Michael was sitting in the seat in the car next to me. Now, that was a first for me. I've had experiences of angels in the car, but this was really different. It was like there was a body sitting in the passenger seat in the car next to me, filling my head with these images of this angel summer camp. Of course, in a way that was safe while I was driving. I was on this little beautiful mountain road here not far from where I live. It was a summer day. The sun was shining. The air was beautiful. I had the windows open. And I had this wonderful experience with Archangel Michael. So I got home, I went into meditation, and the archangels asked me to have a 7-week series with activations every week so that 7 archangels could give us this amazing series of activations. So Archangel Michael was first. We've had 6 of those activations now, and the final one is tomorrow with Archangel Shamuel. This one is on worthiness and love, so I'm very excited to get this activation tomorrow. What they've been telling us that's kind of fun is that they're upgrading our equipment. So they're upgrading our earthly equipment to be able to recognize them, which means our inner senses of sight, sound, smell, taste, hearing. They're also upgrading our soul contracts so that we can leave behind old patterns that we are, wow, are we really tired of those old patterns? And they're also upgrading our divine equipment, which is our connection from our human self, our little personality that's here like Kimberly, through our soul to our true being. So they're upgrading that whole connection system so that it's easier for us to connect with our soul, with our true being, with the angels, with God, with the source, however you want to call it, with divine love. And so as each of these activations have happened over the last 6 weeks, they have been so amazing and powerful. Each one
they give me God bumps just sitting here. I remember one time I was trying to do this prayer that you get skinny, you know. And if you guys don't know me, I'm a 74-year-old lady, about 220 pounds, and I was doing this prayer to the angels about, oh, give me this prayer where I can get skinny, where I can lose this weight. And all of a sudden, Metatron appears, and Metatron's like this big, booming voice. Hey, guys, Star Fuentes, we work on software, not hardware. And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, I was... Well, that kind of makes sense, you know, whatever type of software we're running, how we perceive things, what information we have, that really makes sense. So there's no prayer that I can say to any God or any angel, wake up tomorrow morning 10 pounds skinnier, because they work on the software. Now, they can change my ideas about what I eat. And stuff
yes.
like that. But that was one of my, I would say it's not so fun, but informative experiences with Metatron.
I've been smacked a few times, too.
Can you
and
tell
I'm always
about
grateful
that?
For it. But you, Star, are a woman of substance, and so am I.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a little skinny, ungrounded little waif. And I'm actually quite grateful now to be a woman of substance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really changed my experience being a human here on Earth to be more weighty and more substantial, I must say.
Well, tell me how your angel smacked you.
Oh, goodness, goodness. Sometimes when I'm wallowing in the wrong place, I'll get a bit of an energetic smack to snap out of it. Like today, I had some help from our friend Jaylene. Today's been a pretty difficult day for me. I just found out today that somebody who's very important to me just died quite suddenly in an accident. And I was pretty much freaking out about that at noon, because this is a person who's really important to me. So I was thinking, who do I need to call for help? So I called Jaylene and talk about Earth Angels. Wow, is Jaylene an Earth Angel? So she just helped me calm down, so she was the one who helped deliver the smack. And what she asked me was, what am I so afraid of that I lost? And it was like, whap, what? I just want to wallow in this pain. Well, what am I so afraid that I lost? And this person was like my doctor, he's my nutritional consultant. And so I was afraid that I had lost my link with health. So she says, well, can I trust in my own abilities to nourish myself? Can I believe that I've become wise enough to know what I need? And both of those came like a smack. Because I just wanted to wallow in, oh, my friend died and he was my link to health. And, oh, whoa, poor me. So, I was grateful for those gentle smacks with those very penetrating questions.
You know, and it's really interesting how we've been taught to mourn at that. And I've had several people who've had cancer who've died in my home. And I have brought their friends in, and usually we end up with teens or 20-year-olds who have no place to go. Their parents don't want them because they have cancer. And they end up staying with us, and we brought in their friends, and they played all their records, they sang songs to him, they massaged his feet, and we had a graduation party.
Mm-hmm.
And I had all sorts of food, and they took pictures, and I made a montage, and they ran some movies, and somebody was up 24 hours, and I was feeding people, and it's a graduation another
yeah.
level, and we treat it like it's the end of the soul, but it's not.
Well, what I was mourning for was I don't want to take that level of self-responsibility that I had given to this person. And it was, you know, it was pretty sharp in my heart that, oh, God, this means I have to take deeper self-responsibility, and I'd much rather lay it on him.
Well, it's interesting. It's really interesting how much power we give away.
Yes.
You know, it's not your doctor, and it's not your guru, and it's not your husband or wife or whatever it is who gives you strength. It is you who creates the strength and multiplies it with this person.
Yes.
You know,
and so personally, I know how beautiful death is. I've been to the edge of it twice myself. And I've been at the side of my husband and a best friend and several other people who've died. And I've witnessed through my inner senses that the beauty of passing. There's so much love as the soul leaves. There's so much gratitude. There's just this beautiful expansion of the love that was that person's life. And so, you know, from that perspective, I know that about our passing.
And what a great day. How many people are lighting candles for September 11th? How many people are sitting and remembering what happened? And how many more extra prayers, extra thoughts, extra angels there are with us today? What a perfect day with all that extra love, with all that extra contemplation to pass.
Yes. Yes.
It's amazing. Kimberly, where can I buy your book?
You can either go to gatherinsight.com, and you can find some of them there. You can find My Angel Connection. Oh, you can find my rosary. Bring the People Back to My Love is a beautiful...
Oh, tell me about your rosary.
It's a beautiful devotional prayer. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to read the prayers. It's formatted in a traditional rosary. This is another one where the angels asked me to make a rosary, and I kept saying, I'm not Catholic. I don't get it. You're asking the wrong person. And they kept persisting. 3 months later, I finally said, okay. And I realized that I'd been given everything already to create this beautiful rosary for the children of light. That's us. We're the children of light. That's a devotional. It's what you do in those moments where you don't know what else to do. And it's just a beautiful series of prayers that lead you within to a deeper connection with whoever it is that you connect to, whether it's Jesus or Mother Mary or angels or God or Source or whatever it is you connect to. It's a beautiful series of prayers that lead us inward to listen for guidance.
Oh, you know, the rosaries have a great grid. I mean, how many millions of times have they been said? What a great energy grid to step into with a evolved vision from your angels to give us the new software to work the rosary with.
That's exactly what it is. I'm happy that you said it that way, because this one is all about opening your heart to receive guidance, to love, to share that love that's pumping through you, to be that angel on call in the world, to be who you are. It's so beautiful. It calls out your true being.
Hi, I had a question. My name is Sean. To either of you, what would you say to someone who has a young child and would maybe be thinking about preparing that child for, you know, being more open to the angels and when they're ready, making a communication out to the angels? Would you feel that would be more of a thing that they should sort of decide on their own, or how would you encourage it?
Oh, what a great question, Sean. Children come from heaven, and in their early years, many children are still clairvoyant and they're still connected with the angels and with home. It's as the adults tell them, you're just imagining that they lose the connection. A lot of times when children have imaginary friends that they're talking to, they're seeing angels. And so we can encourage children to keep that connection. We can encourage them to deepen that connection, to develop discernment so that they don't lose that inner connection. It usually disappears by the time they're 7. What a gift to give our children to, instead of saying, oh, you're just imagining that, it's not real, to say, well, let's take a look and see what is real. Let's learn to develop our discernment. Let's learn to communicate with the angels, with spirit, with God, with the divine, with the saints, because they may be seeing them, like I do. I have heard so many stories from people, from adults, who say that when they were children, they were so clairvoyant, and their parents just smashed them, telling them that what they saw wasn't true. And it took them a long time to recover from that, to rediscover the truth of their inner abilities. So encouraging children to keep that connection with the angels is a precious gift that you can give.
And for me, watching kids, they'll be reading a book or doing something, and all of a sudden their eyes follow something across the room. I'll say, "Pretty angel, isn't it?" And they'll go, "Mm-hmm, the color." And they'll look back at their book and say, "Nothing," or "pink," or "white." I was working with this little boy once, and I saw his eyes following something across the room. I says, "Pretty angel." He goes, "Nope, it's an Indian." So I knew it was his spirit guide. But if you pay attention, Sean, to what your children's eyes are attracting, or if they're doing something and all of a sudden their head comes up, they smile and they shine, you may encourage them to say, "What is that angel touching you?" And sometimes they'll verbally answer you, and sometimes they'll psychically, the child will look over their shoulder or something or give you a movement. But if you get that into the vocabulary, that it's okay for them to perceive energy that isn't necessarily visually there for other people, you can let them have that choice on their own later on, whether they're going to choose to perceive it or let it go. I think people spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to get back their psychicness that they gave up as a child. So whatever it is, acknowledge it, let them know it's okay to see, feel, hear it, and ask questions about it. You know,
yes,
so
sometimes children need to be protected, not to be scary, but sometimes the energies aren't so good. And so children also need to learn how to protect themselves from energies that aren't so good.
Yeah, but for me, there's a wide-eyed scaredness, and there's just this casual eyes following something across
mm-hmm.
the room, you know?
Yeah.
You can perceive whether it's dangerous by the expression on the children's
face. On their face, yeah.
Yeah, does that answer your question, sweetie?
Yes, that's excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I remember there being a couple little angel books somewhere for kindergartners and preschools, like about 10, 12 years ago. I don't remember seeing any children's books on angels in the last 10 or 12 years, come to think of it, you know?
What a good question. I haven't been called to do children's books on angels, but I've been kind of alert to it. I've been hoping that I would be. And I haven't been watching much either. That would be wonderful to have some great children's books on angels.
Oh, yeah, I just recently bought a couple hundred children's books because we have a Mommy's Day Out kind of daycare thing one day a week at the church. And,
oh, nice.
I bought books from eBay, and I'm like, okay, some doggies and kitties and imaginary animals and something, and, you know, of course, Santa Claus and Easter Bunny, but there wasn't an angel book among them, to come to think of it.
Huh,
so that might
know.
Be an interesting hint for you.
Yes, I'm getting a hint. Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
I received a series about fairies a long time ago. I haven't written them up, but Tasha Hartflower, the fairy, made a very strong impression on me about 15 years ago, and she gave me a story that I've been wanting to put into a children's book.
Well, you know, children's books are a lot easier right now because of all the self-publishing tools you can get online, and you know, you can illustrate them. You could illustrate them, you know? You wouldn't have to.
I don't know about me.
Well, you know, it's pretty easy, I guess. I don't know.
My drawing skills are pretty rudimentary.
Yeah, the concept for children to once again become familiar with angels is really important. What was the strangest angel story you've ever heard?
Ah, the strangest angel story. Let me think for a moment here. I think the best way to talk about strange angel stories is that sometimes when the angels are trying to communicate something, it comes in a very strange series of events. And so sometimes I just marvel at these interesting, strange string of events that bring us together. And I'm trying to think of one example. Well, coming back to the angel ministry, I went to the UK a couple of years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago now. It's been a while. And as I have some health challenges, it's a long flight from California to London, and so I didn't do very well on the journey. So when I got to London, I wasn't feeling very well. I was pretty tired and kind of sick, and I was there alone and feeling kind of scared. So I was talking to my husband on the phone here in California. He found a wonderful hotel for me. So I went into this hotel to rest up, and it was along a canal. These cute little houseboats were along the canal. So I had 2 days on this canal to walk alongside the houseboats, to walk along this canal and just kind of relax. And on this funny kind of strange journey, the angels were there the whole time. They kept sending me these interesting little messages to give me these little pings to know that they were there. And so finally I had to go do this weekend retreat. I was still feeling pretty weak and not very good. I didn't know the woman who was hosting the retreat, but I showed up at her peace cottage. Her name is Karen Lay. She's an amazing world-class healer. I didn't know that at the time, but I showed up looking fairly bedraggled. She took one look at me and she said, "Come with me." She took my hand. She led me to her healing room. She sat me up in a chair because we only had 20 minutes. And she did this amazingly powerful hands-on healing session in that 20 minutes. And at the end of the session, she looked at me and she said, "So, when are you going to do the angel ministry? Because I need to be in your first class. I need to be an angel minister." So I think that was one of my more interesting journeys with the angels, through how they guide me in the most interesting ways. And if I'd arrived there, you know, full strength and in good shape, and she hadn't done that hands-on healing, the angel ministry may never have been birthed.
Wow, that's pretty powerful. For me, sometimes it's like I'm talking to a person and I'm making statements like, you know, you need a little bit more discipline. And all of a sudden I see a flutter of wings, and I can actually don't see the angels clapping that another that someone has told their person this out loud, but they're like fluttering their wings to give me acknowledgement that I said the right thing. You know, you've been a little bit greedy, or, you know, and one of the ways you can take care of that is by taking a look at what you could, you know. And sometimes I just see this fluttering of wings when some human actually tells another human the truth. So for me, that's always, you know, confirmation. And now you've been in those sessions where you tell somebody something and they're sitting there and go, "Oh, no, not me," and all their girlfriends have their thumbs up behind them.
I hear the hallelujah chorus singing.
Oh, well.
Hallelujah.
Well, you're more auditory than me. I just get the visual of all the wings kind of making the movement that the hands are clapping. But it's pretty, you know, pretty funny. And I've actually had somebody say, "Oh, I'm such a good person." And the angel just lay down on the floor and play dead right in front of the person. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, so something must be up here. So, and they, you know, but angels are messengers. Angels are connectors. Angels are researchers. Angels are blessers. Angels are consciousness.
They're comedians.
You know?
Some of them are comedians, and they'll do funny things like play dead. It's like they'll do pantomime.
Actually, they all have personalities. So we're coming right up to the end of the show here. And if you go to starfuentes.com and to the radio page and enter the magic word expo, you will get a free e-gift because Kimberly and I will be at the Universal Life
Expo. On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.